کسی یادم آره با کی گایم پیش نباید من مانع سپر بزی که شاید از تو که دیزی مال تو من دیگه سپر کار نربند بگت برند پرو مار کی من انتی کاری باش نبند کی نام چارش نه هر دست تا کور کی پرمش که هوش کشنا چیتانیا پرو من چنندا شیر بیت که دار ها شی باست در گور بگت برند کی شی شیوار کرشنا دوگا پنا شام کنی رار کنی گری گو بران کی Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki, Shri Navadvip Maya Pumadam Ki, Ganga Maya Juna Maya Ki, Tulsi Maharani Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya
Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda
Jaya
Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda Okay, reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is Madhya Leela chapter 15, text number, which number is it? Can't see.
262 to 264.
Okay. Okay, we'll say the Bengali all together, the first 260. Gare Arsi Bhattacharya. Is that the one?
262.
262. Okay. Right. Okay. All together. Kimba ni japan yadu karibu no chan Duri yoga na hedu sharia brahman. Translation. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued. Or if I give up my own life, this sinful action may be atoned. However, neither of these ideas are befitting because both bodies belong to Brahmins. 263, everyone together. Puna se nindakara mukha na kutna Parityaga kailun tara namana riba. Instead, I shall never see the face of that blasphemer. I reject him and give up his relationship. I shall never even speak his name. So text number 264. I'll say it to begin with and you can repeat. Satire kaha tare chaduka se haila patita. Patita haile barta tyajite ujita. Satire kahatare chaduka sai haila patita. Patita haila bhata tyajite uchita. Satire kahatare chaduka sai haila patita. Patita ile bharta tyajite uchita.
Patita ile bharta tyajite uchita.
Inform sati. Tare chaduka. Let her give him up. Say haila. He has become. Patita. Fallen. Patita haile. When one has fallen. Bhata. Such a husband. Chiajite, to give up. Uchita is the duty. Translation. Inform my daughter Sati to abandon her relationship with her husband because he has fallen down. When the husband falls down, it is the wife's duty to relinquish the relationship. Please repeat. Inform my daughter Sati. To abandon her relationship with her husband because he has fallen down. When the husband falls down, it is the wife's duty to relinquish the relationship. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya considered that if Yamoga were killed, one would suffer sinful reactions for killing the body of a Brahmin. For the same reason, it would have been undesirable for Bhattacharya to commit suicide because he was also a Brahmin. Since neither course could be accepted, Bhattacharya decided to give up his relationship with Yamoga and never see his face. As far as killing the body of a Brahmin is concerned, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.53 gives the following injunction. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Brahma Bandhu Nahantavya Atatai Vadahana Mayaevo Bayam Amnatam Paripayanu Shashanam. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna said, A friend of a Brahmin is not to be killed, but if he is an aggressor, he must be killed. All these rulings are in the scriptures, and you should act accordingly. Quoting from the Smriti, Srila Sridhara Swami comments on this quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam. Atatayinam ayantam api vedanta paragam jigam santam jigam shiyan. Natena Brahmaha Bhavet. Even though an aggressor may be a very learned scholar of Vedanta, he should be killed because of his envy in killing others. In such a case, it is not sinful to kill a Brahmin. It is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.57, Vapanam Dravinadanam Stanan Niryap Panam tata, eshahi brahma bandunam, badho nanyo sti daihika. cutting the hair from his head, depriving him of his wealth, and driving him from his residence are the prescribed punishments for the relative of a Brahmin. There is no injunction for killing the body. Such punishment is sufficient for a Brahma Bandhu. There is no need to personally kill his body. As far as Sati, the daughter of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, was concerned, she was advised to give up her relationship with her husband. Concerning this, the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.18 states, Napatis cha nasyan na mochayadya samapeta mrityum. One cannot be a husband if he cannot liberate his dependents from inevitable death. If a person is not in Krishna consciousness and is bereft of spiritual power, he cannot protect his wife from the path of repeated birth and death. Consequently, such a person cannot be accepted as a husband. A wife should dedicate her life and everything to Krishna for further advancement in Krishna consciousness. If she gives up her connection with a husband who abandons Krishna consciousness, she follows in the footsteps of the Dvijapatni, the wives of the Brahmins who were engaged in performing sacrifices. The wife is not to be condemned for cutting off such a relationship. In this regard, Sri Krishna states in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.23.31-32, Patayo nabai surayan pitri pratri sutadaya lokascha vomayo peta deva pyanu manvate na pritaye nuna gaya nuragaya yanga sango ninam hiha tanmano mai junjana achiran mam avapyastha. Such a separation is never condemned by the supreme will. No one should be envious of the order of Krishna. Even demigods support such action. In this material world, one does not become beloved simply by maintaining a bodily relationship. However, one can attain complete perfection by association in Krishna consciousness. Om Agyanatam Mandasya Ganandanam Shlakaya Chakshura Manatam Yenatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this somebody invented a mic stand that never wore out. Because devotees, they just pull them down. You're supposed to undo this thing, they push them up, pull them down, and just totally destroy it. You have to, anyway. Good invention for somebody. So, this is the story of Lord Chaitanya being offered prasadam by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You may remember that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was an incarnation of Brihaspati. Brihaspati is the spiritual master of the demigods, and he was one of the greatest scholars of India. But he had been an impersonalist. He had been a Vedantist, and he didn't understand the ultimate purport of Vedanta, which is to worship Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya had listened patiently to his rendition or his understanding of Vedanta, and then he had explained it properly. And because of his great scholarship, Lord Chaitanya being Krishna himself, he explained it and he completely changed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's mind. So he became a great devotee. And so he, because previously he had been very concerned about Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya was so beautiful, being an incarnation of Krishna, and he was so young that he'd taken sannyas at such a young age, that he was concerned that he would fall prey to a woman. He thought, I need to protect you, I need to recite Vedanta in your ear so that you will protect it and you won't fall down. So that was his motive for enlightening Lord Chaitanya. But then afterwards, he wanted to invite Lord Chaitanya. He cooked a huge feast, and he cooked it with such expertise. Him and his wife cooked so many preparations in such a short time. And Lord Chaitanya said, this is only possible by the mercy of the Lord. So he cooked this huge feast out of love. And he wanted to offer, because that was, Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Palam Tayam Yome Bhakta Priyachati, that if one offers me with love a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. Of course, if somebody who's an expert cook doesn't bother to cook and just offers a bit of water, that won't be very pleasing to the Lord. So one of the most important functions or services that a spiritual master renders to Krishna, as we sing every morning in Mangalati, Chaturvidapajante Mam. How's it going? No, that's a different one. I sing it every day. I get confused when I'm up here, sorry. So, you know, we're offering Krishna. I'm here most days, right, Pran? I was there yesterday. So, we offer it, the spiritual master is offering Krishna four delicious kinds of foodstuffs, analyzes those which are licked, chewed, drunk, and swallowed. So this is a very important activity the spiritual master performs for Krishna, and he teaches his disciples to offer nice prasadam. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted Jamuna Devi Dasi, one of his first disciples, to compile a book of all wonderful preparations to offer to Krishna. Because Srila Prabhupada wanted to please Krishna, and he wanted to train his disciples how to offer nice prasadam to Krishna, because Krishna likes to eat nice prasadam. Krishna is not just a dull material person. He likes to experience sense gratification based on love. So it's described in the Krishnanika Kamodi by Kavi Kanapur, how when Krishna, he's in Nandagram, and Srimati Radharani, Yasoda wants Radharani to come and cook some beautiful prasadam for Krishna. So Radharani comes because Krishna likes Radharani's cooking, and nobody is such a good cook as Radharani. So she comes and cooks for Krishna, and she cooks the most wonderful feast, so many beautiful preparations. And there's that beautiful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur describing all the different, what's the name of the song? Vajra Bhakata Vatsala Hari. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes all those beautiful preparations offered to Krishna. And of course Lord Chaitanya, he loves to eat nice prasadam. So Sarvabhauma, he wanted to offer this wonderful feast, and so there were so many wonderful preparations, and Lord Chaitanya, there were so many of them, and Lord Chaitanya was enjoying the prasadam, which was a form of love, the offering. And then Amog comes along. His son-in-law comes along and starts criticizing. You're a fallen sannyasi. Well, sannyasis are supposed to be detached. Why are you eating so much? So, of course, Lord Chaitanya wasn't offended, but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was so devastated that he had a son-in-law who would criticize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was just horrified by the whole situation, so he didn't know what to do. So he wanted to kill himself. Maybe I should just kill myself. But that's not recommended, as in another episode with Sanatana Goswami, we see that Lord Chaitanya had advised him not to commit suicide, because Sanatana Goswami, he was covered in sores, and these sores were full of obnoxious smells and pass. And Lord Chaitanya kept embracing him. And he felt so bad that Lord Chaitanya's beautiful body had to be, he touched it with these sores from Sanatan Goswami's body. So he felt so bad, he wanted to kill himself. And he said, I shall just throw myself under the wrath cart. And Lord Chaitanya, being omniscient, he understood exactly what he was thinking, because Krishna's in our heart, and he knows what everybody's thinking at every moment. So he said, no, you cannot do that. This is sinful. This is, if it was easy, that easy to obtain love of Krishna, to go back to Godhead by committing suicide, I would commit suicide millions of times. But actually, and also I have many devotional services to act through your body. So we know that Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami very extensively. There's some very long chapters in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami, and he wrote, well, one brilliant masterpiece, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is just an amazing book. How many people have read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Anybody? Oh, how many? So you can read that book many times. It's a very amazing book. And so that knowledge was gleaned by Sanatana Goswami. Of course, we might wonder how Sanatana Goswami, all the Goswamis, they descended to the material world to pour nectar in the form of transcendental literatures on the fallen conditioned souls, and how he got these sores in the first place, because he was a divine personality who descended from the spiritual world, and he had these terrible sores on his body. So how is that? But there's always tests. This is, Krishna's always testing us, and he wants to, of course, in this particular example, he had many different lessons to teach us. But committing suicide is not, it's a bad activity. It leads to a very dark future. And so here, there's a controversy about whether Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, whether it's right to kill a fallen Brahmin. And this is the whole episode. Prabhupada quotes the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna is saying, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna said, a friend of a Brahmin is not to be killed, but if he's an aggressor, he must be killed. So Ashvatthama, he was an aggressor. He was talking about Ashvatthama. Ashvatthama had killed the five sleeping sons of Draupadi. So this was just a heinous act, killing sleeping children, divine personalities, sons and children of Draupadi. So Krishna wanted to kill them. And then Yudhisthira, he didn't want them to be killed. And Draupadi couldn't bear to think of the suffering that Ashvatthama's mother would go through if he was killed, if Ashvatthama was killed. So, and Bhima, he wanted to kill Ashvatthama. He said, he deserves to be killed. Let me kill him. But anyway, he wasn't killed. But they cut his hair off his head and the beautiful jewel on his head. And in a way, it was worse than being killed, because apparently he's still wandering around in the Himalayas in this dejected position. So there's other instances in the Srimad Bhagavatam where a Brahmin was killed. Can anybody think of any? Vritrasura? No, Vritrasura wasn't a Brahmin. He was a demon. How could he be a Brahmin and a demon? A demon's not a Brahmin. Huh? Richard, no, I thought you said, yeah, Dadichi was the Brahmin. But Vichwasura wasn't a Brahmin. It was a Mahabhagava, but he was in the body of a demon. Ravana was the Brahmin? Okay. So in the story of Dadichi, Vishwaroop was killed by Indra. And so, because Indra was very powerful, he could neutralize the sinful reaction for killing a Brahmin. But of course, Vritrasura criticized him very heavily because he was his brother and he wanted to kill Indra. So in the, I'll read it from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Although Indra was so powerful that he could neutralize the sinful reactions for killing a Brahmin, he repentantly accepted the burden of these reactions with folded hands. He suffered for 1 year, and then to purify himself, he distributed the reactions for this sinful killing among the earth, water, trees, and women. So how did the earth get the reaction for killing the Brahmin? Does anyone know? Huh? Desert. So, it says here, in return for King Indra's benediction, the ditches in the earth would be filled automatically. The land accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions for killing a Brahmin. Because of those sinful reactions, we find many deserts on the surface of the earth. Because deserts are manifestations of the earth's disease condition, no auspicious ritualistic ceremony can be performed in a desert. Persons destined to live in deserts are understood to be sharing the reaction for the sin of Brahmahatcha, the killing of a Brahmin. Okay, what was the next one? The trees. In return for Indra's, what was the benediction the trees got? The tree's got a benediction. In return for Indra's benediction that their branches and twigs would grow back when trimmed, the trees accepted 1/4 of the reaction for killing a Brahmin. These reactions are visible in what? The sap. The sap, you said that? Yeah. So therefore, one should not drink the sap of a tree. Huh? Don't ask me about maple syrup. I'm just repeating what the Bhagavatam says. Okay. Okay, we won't talk about the one for women. Okay. In return for King Indra's benediction that water would increase the volume of other substance with which it was mixed, water accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions, which was what? Roman bubbles. Okay. If water is mixed with milk, fruit, juice, or other similar substances, it increases their volume and no one can understand which has increased. In return for this benediction, that's how they cheat you. Oh, you want some nice pomegranate juice? We'll mix it with some water. In return for this benediction, water accepted 1/4 of Indra's sinful reactions. These sinful reactions are visible in foam and bubbles. Therefore, one should avoid foam and bubbles while collecting drinking water. Except the Ganges. Yeah. Okay, so, anyway, so there's, killing a Brahmin is not recommended. So, further on in the purport here, if she gives up her connection with the husband who abandons Krishna consciousness, she follows in the footsteps of the Dvija partners, the wives of the Brahmins who engaged in performing sacrifices. The wife is not to be contemned for cutting off such a relationship. Although it's interesting because Srila Prabhupada had one disciple, and she was married to a Mitita, and her husband wasn't a devotee. This is very early on, 1974. She would come to the temple. She didn't live in the temple. But she got initiated. She was very serious about being a devotee, and Prabhupada said, just stay with your husband. So, also I believe Prabhupada's sister, his husband was a drunkard too, and she stayed with him. Prabhupada told her to stay with her husband, yeah. So, in this connection, okay, where the Dvijapatni Brahmin, the wives of the Brahmins, Krishna told them that, because they said their husbands wouldn't take them back, and so Krishna said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, rest assured that your husbands will not be inimical towards you, nor will your fathers, brothers, sons, or other relatives of the general populace. I will personally advise them of the situation. Even the demigods will express their approval. Then because they wanted to stay with him, they didn't want to go back to their sinful Kaliya. Oh, no, not Kaliya. Is it the Dvijapatni? Yeah, the Brahmin's wife. So you, because they had refused food to Krishna, the wives were more elevated. So Krishna says they wanted to remain with Krishna, but Krishna wants them to go back to the husbands. So then Krishna says, this is from the Sarata Darshini, which Prabhupada didn't comment on this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the later chapters anyway. For you to remain in my bodily association would certainly not please people in this world, nor would it be the best way for you to increase your love for me. Rather, you should fix your minds on me, and very soon you will achieve me. Commentary by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. The Brahmin's wife said, when will our desire ever be fulfilled or not? Krishna said, since you are asking this with your tearful sidelong glances, I will reply thus. The people in this world will not appreciate it if you stay with me. It is also not the best way to increase your love for me. Longing and separation will create more intense attraction to me. Therefore, absorb your minds in me and you will attain me very soon. And then he says, text 33, if it is by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating upon me, and chanting my names and glories, the love for me develops, not by physical proximity. Therefore, please go back to your homes. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, thus instructed, the wives of the Brahmins returned to the place of sacrifice. The Brahmins did not find any fault with their wives, and together with them they finished the sacrifice. Commentary. The wives of the Brahmins obeyed Sri Krishna's order and returned to their husbands, whereas the Rajagopis, although ordered by Krishna to go home, remain in the forest to dance with him through the full moon night. Both the Rajagopis and the Brahmins' wives achieved unalloyed Krishna prema. So, in this pastime of Lord Chaitanya, he ultimately gives Amogh love of God. Even though Amogh was envious and critical, he said why Lord Chaitanya touched his chest when he was dying. And he said, why are you allowing envy to sit in your heart? This is not the fitting mentality of a Brahmin. So, being critical, obviously, gives so many bad reactions. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being personally present, Amoga was very fortunate that he got the mercy of the Lord. But for us, we have to be very careful about envy. One time Prabhupada said there are many envious people, even in the Hare Krishna movement. So sometimes we might think he's referring to us individually, because envy is very deep-rooted. We're all envious of Krishna. But at the same time, we have to be very vigilant to see that there's no reason to be envious, because every soul that Krishna's created is full of wonderful qualities. And some devotees may be more advanced. And we see that when we become devotees, some devotees just have much more propensity for spreading Krishna consciousness, for being detached. They give better classes, they lead better kirtans. So we have to just be humble, accept a level of advancement without being envious, and we have to work on ourselves. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, when you see faults in others, you should look within and just see faults within yourself. That we shouldn't look for faults in others. Anybody who, just like in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's a section in there about devotees who are doing different types of devotional service. Like somebody might be dancing before the deities, and you might think they look really strange. And we might criticize them mentally, but actually we might get a reaction for that. Just like that story of Sanat, was it Sanat or Rupa Goswami? There was one, he was laughing mentally about a pastime of Radha and Krishna, and a Brahmin thought he was laughing at him, and he became really offended. And so there's another story of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was doing deity worship. This is in Prem Vilas, the book called Prem Vilas. And it's describing how Prahlad Maharaj was doing deity worship, and he neglected to welcome a devotee who came because he was so absorbed in his deity worship. So then he was cursed. He became Haridas Thakur. That's another explanation of who Haridas Thakur was. So we have to be very careful not to commit offenses, not to be envious of other devotees, not to criticize other devotees, because that will destroy our devotional service. As the what's it called, the Hati Mata offense, the mad elephant offense, the greatest offense. So blaspheming Lord Chaitanya is hard to imagine a greater offense. But of course, because of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he got love of God. So the lesson is that we should never criticize or blaspheme other devotees, because we may get very bad reactions. So any comments or reflections? Mother Gatmaka?
Thank you, Prabhu. You mentioned the blessings and curses different individuals got. So regarding women, we know the curse they got, but what's the blessing they got?
The blessing. I didn't want to go in that sense.
I know. We noticed that, many of us.
Do I have to? I'll look it up. I won't tell them. Okay. don't know if I can find it. I'm not sure if I can find it now. So,
uh oh.
The blessing.
We want to hear it. We got to hear it.
So I can answer.
Okay, here it is. Oh wait. No. In return for Lord Indra's benediction, that they would be able to enjoy lusty desires continuously. You sure you want to hear this? Hold on, this is the translation of the verse. Even during pregnancy, for as long as sex is not injurious to the embryo, women accepted one-fourth of the sinful reactions. So that's the blessing. Hare Krishna. The purport, I don't know if you want to hear that. I won't say the purport. Any other questions? We'll move on.
I just had a technical question.
What?
We were talking about Vitrasura, you know.
Vitrasura, yeah.
The Brahmin.
Huh?
According to the Bhagavatam, he was considered a Brahmin.
He was what?
Vitrasura. We were talking about Vitrasura.
Vitrasura.
Yeah, I didn't follow the whole thing, but according to the Bhagavatam, he was considered a Brahmin.
He was a Brahmin?
Yeah. Well, of course. Definitely. I mean, beyond that. But.
Well, one thing about him, he was, you know, Chitraketu. Chitraketu wasn't a Brahmin. Chitraketu was a Kshatriya. He was a king.
But that's all. Of course, none of us are Brahmins. We're spirit soul.
Anyway, I don't really know.
I don't know either. Because what do I know? But I'm just reading it right here in the Bible. So.
Prang. Give the mic to Prang.
It's 13. It's Canto 6, Chapter 13, in the summary of it by Prabhupada, and then the initial chapter, initial verses.
Okay. Prang Govinda. Okay.
Regarding the Dijapatnis.
Yeah.
Sanatana Goswami Pad in Dasami Tippani, he says, the reason Krishna did not accept them because they are internally, in order to unite with Krishna in a Rasa dance, two things are required. It's in the Madhulila chapter 9. Srutigan gopiganer anugata hoiya brajeshwari suta baje braja bhava loiya bhajya antar jabe gopi deha pailo sei dehe Krishna sange rasa kriya koila. In order somebody to join in Krishna, antar means internally they have to be at the footsteps of the gopis, and externally they have to have a body took birth from the womb of a gopi. So the Dijapatni, they had a one thing, but they did not have the second thing. Internally they are completely pure, but externally they are wife of a brahmana, is considered mother. So from the external point, it will not proper for Krishna to accept, according to Sanatana Goswami. That's why he said, you have to go back, because there are seven types of mother. Wives of the brahmanas are also mother. But internally, they are 100% pure. So immediately Sanatana Goswami Pad said they are actually sent to Golok Vrindavan, where they took birth as a gopis, and internally they were gopis. So they met. But externally, Maya Kalpita Tadrikasti Shilanena Anushiyabi Na Jatu Brajadivinam Pativi Sahasangama. There was another set created by Jogamaya who went back to the Brahmanas.
Where did the first
set
go?
In the Dasami Tippani.
No, but where did the first set of Dvijapatni Brahmanas go? You said another set was created that went back to the husbands, and the first set stayed with Krishna?
First set went back to spiritual world to be with Krishna.
Okay.
Gave up their body, yeah. But the other set created by the Jogamaya went back to that.
I was listening to a class the other day by Srila Prabhupada, and he was saying how after millions of births you may get to be born as a tree or the water in Vrindavan. After millions of births. You may become the water or a tree. Yes, Mataji.
You were talking about how even thinking in the mind is an offense to...
How we have to what?
How thinking wrong about another person is an offense. So my question is, how do we control thinking? Because thinking happens naturally. So...
You're holding a bit too close. Can you hold it a little bit further away? No, further away. Yeah, like that. Okay. Say it now.
So my question is, how do we control thinking? Thoughts come in our mind naturally when we don't have control about thoughts coming up in our mind. So when we sometimes think bad about others, so what is that we should do after or before? I mean, and before. How do we stop thinking bad about others? And even if we think bad about others, how do we rectify that?
Well, I mean, the process of Krishna consciousness is a very powerful process. And if we practice seriously, all of our critical tendencies will go away. But Prabhupada said we have to see with one good eye and one bad eye. So we might see the faults in people, but seeing the faults and being critical are two different things. We have to see the faults in people because we have to discriminate between what is good behavior and what is bad behavior. So Prabhupada said a neophyte devotee, he doesn't know how to discriminate between a more advanced devotee and a neophyte devotee. So therefore he commits offenses against a more advanced devotee. So we have to learn to discriminate, you know, who is more advanced, who is less advanced. And without being critical, that if somebody's less advanced, doesn't mean we have to criticize them, but we have to practice Krishna consciousness and gradually, you know, all the envy and anger and critical mentality will be destroyed. It's a fact. So you just have, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual process. Sorry, if anybody else has any other comment, they're welcome to.
Yes. Srila Prabhupada said that in one benediction of Kali Yuga is that we do not get a reaction for thoughts.
Right.
But still, we should still control our mind and try not to view anybody negatively. I think we can... Well, one thing I do is I try to find something positive about the person, you know, if I find thoughts coming up, I try to flood my mind with positive thoughts and say, well, they have this positive thing, and also to understand, like, I'm also not perfect. So those are just some thoughts.
That's true. Thing is, it's painful, though, to have bad thoughts about people. And, you know, when the mind is completely purified, those bad thoughts won't be there. We don't really want to be thinking bad things about people, even if there's no sinful reaction to thinking bad about people. Still, it's not something nice to meditate on, people's faults or whatever. So, you know, we have to just practice Krishna consciousness very seriously so that we might see people's faults, but we're not envious. You know, envy is a very strong anatta, bad quality. And if somebody becomes advanced, they're not envious of anybody because they feel completely satisfied. And they feel content with the situation that they're in and with what they are. So accepting one's, you know, shortcomings and limitations is an important part of being Krishna conscious. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't aspire to do wonderful things, but we have to accept that some people are, you know, more advanced and better at doing different things. Yes.
I also wanted to add to these comments that another way to prevent negative thoughts from becoming envious is to pray for that person. that evokes compassion in our hearts. We don't go into a negative spiral.
Yeah, it's easy to go into negative spiral. It's easy to get into controversies in ISKCON or in life in general. And if you're not very careful, if you meditate on a controversy, you have a difference of opinion with somebody, you can start to criticize that person, and you know, it can become very dangerous for your spiritual life. There's a statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which talks about the the whirlpool of unfortunate situations. Sometimes devotees get into unfortunate situations and it just drags them down lower and lower and lower. So we have to be very careful to be positive about everybody, to try to see the good and to try to help those, like an advanced devotee should try to help those in a less advanced situation. So, but you know, Prabhupada created a society that if we follow it properly, then it's a vehicle for everybody to develop love of God. Shesha Prabhu.
And the Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, has not left us just at the mercy of the mind blowing this way and that way. One thing, he gave us mantra. And mantra means mind deliverance, so mind control. So we're meant to gain control over our mind by practicing the chanting of the mantra given by our guru. And so we're not just left subject to the whims of the mind. That's one of the symptoms of advancing in Krishna consciousness, that you can begin to control the mind. And we know the mind functions accepting and rejecting. So we know how the mind works. And then we can see it working, we can get ahead of it, and we can control it. At least that's the goal.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll finish here. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.